Have you ever thought that insects are only active in the garden in spring and summer? Well, here in Sydney, there are a number of these important pollinators getting their work done all year round. Blooming winter flowers are really important in reducing the number of pest species while providing pollinators with sugary nectar. Joining me now is Tanya Latty. Now, Tanya is a lover of insects and an associate professor at the University of Sydney, and she joins us to give us some tips on how to plant a pollinator-friendly winter garden. Tanya, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm really great. Now, we're accustomed to seeing bees and other pollinators in the warmer months. Why don't we see them in the winter months?
Insects are cold-blooded, which means that their internal body temperature depends a lot on what's going on around them. And so in cooler weather, they really slow down and they're just not generally as active. Most of our native bees in the Sydney region sort of spend winter either as larvae or pupa, so we don't really see them. They're not really doing very much. But there are lots of insects that have adapted to cooler weather, and in particular, things like flies, you know, hoverflies in particular, are really active over the winter, and they're actually more common in the winter than they are in the summer.
All right. So why is it important to plant and encourage winter pollinators?
Well, hoverflies in particular are garden superheroes. The adults are active pollinators, so they can do, you know, much of the same work that bees would do. But then their larvae, their babies, are aphid predators. So they help to keep aphid populations in your garden under control. So having hoverflies means you get free pollination and free pest control.
Oh my God, they are like a superhero. I never thought I would say a fly was a superhero, but aphids are definitely something I struggle with in our garden. So that, oh my God, okay, that's really great to know. So what kinds of other pollinators do we see in winter other than the hoverfly, or are they kind of the main one?
They're the most common one, but there are also other species of flies. So blowflies, you know, which we tend to associate with kind of being a bit gross and, you know, rotting, they can be pollinators too. So they'll also feed on nectar and they can be really key. Lots of wasps, both parasitic and predatory wasps are around in the winter, and they can do a lot of our pest control for us as well. And then honeybees, which, you know, they're not a native insect to Australia. They were brought here in the 1800s, but they tend to be active in the winter as well because they are adapted to a kind of colder European climate. So they find our Sydney winters pretty crazy.
I'm going to ask you while I've got you. So wasps and other stingy mm-hmm. insects, I'm always really tempted to try and kill, right? Because I'm petrified they're going to sting me. I know. I hear the shock in your voice. I know. But I just, so we shouldn't be killing the wasps, is that?
No, okay. Absolutely not. I really feel bad for wasps because I feel like they get the bad rap. It's like, yay, bees, and boo, evil, angry wasps.
And
that's really not true. I mean, wasps, they're really important predators. So they help, again, to keep caterpillars and all sorts of other pests under control in gardens. And they're typically not aggressive. Now, they can sting, just like honeybees can sting, but they only really do that when they're threatened. So, you know, most people accidentally get stung when they maybe step on a forager or put their hand on a nest or walk too close to a nest, and they'll sting defensively, but that's relatively rare.
Yeah, so, okay. So don't kill the wasps. Just leave them and they'll leave you.
Leave them and they'll help you keep your garden and your home free of insects, other insects. So there's definitely good ones to keep around.
What kind of things should we be planting to encourage these winter insects?
Yeah, so I'd really aim for diversity. So lots and lots of whatever you can get your hands on that flowers in the winter. So things that we found work really well in community gardens and our research are things like flowering brassicas, so bok choy, broccoli, mustard greens. If you leave some of those to go to flower, hoverflies love them.
Okay.
So, you know, just leave a little section of your garden for them rather than harvesting everything. And then other types of things, lots of salvias and basils are really popular, especially with honeybees. Basils are a bit funny because they typically flower more in the summer. But we found if you plant them kind of in warmer parts of the garden in sunny patches, often they'll flower throughout the winter, or at least into the early spring. So they're really good ones.
Yeah, right.
And then also trying to include some native species, because some of our native flower visiting insects really prefer natives. So things like happy wanderer, lots of wattles, grevilleas, coastal rosemary, all of those are also really good choices.
How does coastal rosemary differ from rosemary?
Uh-oh, I'm not a botanist.
Oh, okay.
So I forgive me if I get this wrong, but I think they're actually quite different.
Okay.
They're in a different family altogether, as far as I know. They look similar, but they're not actually that closely related.
Okay.
But I might be wrong about that.
So no, that's fine. No, totally. Salt. I'm prefacing it that Tanya's not a botanist, people. So don't call in.
Right.
Have you got any other tips for creating a pollinator-friendly winter garden for us?
Yeah, so plant lots of stuff. Go for variety because different insects have different preferences. So rather than planting, say, just one big patch of salvia, you know, mix and match a little bit so that you can cater to those wide interests of a bunch of insects. And don't use insecticides if you can possibly avoid it. Most insecticides on the market, even the ones that say eco-friendly, are often something called broad spectrum. And that means that they'll kill most or all insects. And of course, we don't want that because it means you might kill your pest, but you also kill all the predators that are keeping other pests under control. And you can actually make problems worse sometimes by overusing insecticides. And so, you know, if you feel like you absolutely have no choice but you need to use an insecticide, please do a lot of research and make sure that the thing you're using is specific to the pest. And honestly, 99% of the time, I think you can deal with pests in the garden either by, you know, hand removing them, by spraying off things like aphids, or by just making sure your plants are super healthy and that you have that ecosystem there to help keep your pest populations under control.
Yep. Oh, Tanya Letty, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really fascinating
no
topic.
No problem.
Bye.